Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. It's day 29 of New York on pause. Social distancing is working. Let's keep it up. As of April 18th, Elmont has 872 documented COVID-19 cases. A few miles east, Hempstead has more than 1,400 cases. Today, we note that Freeport, with more than 1,000 cases, joins the top of the leaderboard. Why? Surely, it's not simply economic. Our pilot episode asked, why did Elmont residents have to drive 24 miles to Jones Beach for testing? Well, we're pleased to report that a letter dated April 15th was penned by State Representatives Kaplan, Kaminsky, and Mikhail Szilagyi, along with County Legislator Carrie A. Szilagyi. The letter to Dr. Howard Zucker, New York State's Department of Health Commissioner, urges him to consider Belmont Park, Elmont's emergency evacuation center, as a future venue for COVID-19 testing. Is this too little, too late? Let's keep an eye on it. Here on the podcast, we ask the questions, offer insights, and entertain thoughtful answers. The development at Belmont Park is, we believe, on pause. Elmont takes no comfort in a pandemic pause to construction. However, it may well be true that justice's procrastination is advantageous to the community. Since filing the case on September 25, 2019, New York Arena Partners project manager Anthony Lopez surprisingly acknowledged, contrary to their own court filings, that Belmont Park is a park. Here, Mr. Lopez on February 27th answering a question from a community resident.
In the FEIS, the North Lot mentioned, and the FEIS states that the North Lot there'd be no tailgating and no cornhopping. What is New York Arena Partners going to do to ensure that it does not happen, and what are the exact plans to make sure it doesn't happen?
Well, as you know, and Glenn and I will tell you, this is a state park. This is state land. There is no tailgating. It's not permitted by the state. And New York Arena Partners will enforce that, and so will the security on site.
Who's the security?
The community claims that because Belmont Park is a park, legislative action should have preceded the project's approval. There's more. Similar or near similar cases have been decided by New York State Supreme Court justices. The most surprising, most dramatic, is 200 Amsterdam Avenue in Manhattan. New York State Justice W. Frank Perry ordered the Department of Buildings revoke the building permit for the tower and remove all floors that exceed the zoning limit. That order may mean that 20-plus floors of a New York City high-rise must be dismantled and removed. Like Elmont, community concerns regarding zoning and environmental impacts were ignored by the city, the state, and the developers. Similarly, on December 16, 2019, another New York State Supreme Court justice, Judge Verna Saunders, annulled the Inwood Council's August 2018 approval of the Inwood neighborhood zoning plan. The judge sided with local residents who sued, contending that the prior environmental review of the project ignored concerns they'd raised. This pandemic is the latest affirmation that high-density development is toxic to minority communities like Elmont. And now, I extend well wishes to all, and in particular to Elmont's 872 neighbors and friends suffering from COVID-19, the disease that spreads the coronavirus. I'll be right back with the conversation. You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. Joining us today is Adam Haber. Mr. Haber has had a long career in finance. Adams, an active angel investor and advisor. He is also a member of the advisory board for Strong Youth, Inc. Mr. Haber was appointed to the Nassau Interim Finance Authority, NIFA, in July of 2015 by Governor Andrew Cuomo, where he served until his 2016 run for New York State Senate. Mr. Haber was a trustee on the Roslyn School Board. Today, Mr. Haber joins us to talk about a PPE drive for Long Island health professionals and first responders. He, through All Hands and Hearts, a nonprofit that supports disaster relief efforts across the globe, is spearheading the drive. Mr. Haber, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Mr. Phillips.
Well, you're welcome. Your drive to provide PPE to Long Island frontline workers piqued our interest here at the podcast. As you may know, Elmont is close to the top of what we call the leaderboard. First, it's Hempstead, then it's Freeport and Elmont. Those are the three communities in Nassau County that leads in the number of confirmed coronavirus infections. That said, it's easy to see the racial component in this. But as you may also know, in Elmont, we have a large population of frontline workers, whether it be doctors, nurses, paraprofessionals, even our students that take the public transportation to get to and fro from school. So your effort is particularly important to my community and the communities I mentioned earlier. So with that said, would you mind telling us a little bit about not only the drive that you're in, but also the All Hands and Heart Foundation?
Well, first of all, Aubrey, I appreciate you reaching out to spread the word. I think that Elmont's an amazing, diverse community and the number one community in my heart for how long I've been active in public office and running for office. I just didn't want to be number one in coronavirus, so let's see if we can help change that. But many years ago, after Hurricane Katrina, a friend of a friend started an organization called All Hands at the time. And they were to go in after the first responders, after the police and fire cleared out the injured and dead, unfortunately, and natural disasters like hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, things like that. And then this charity comes in, they house volunteers, they feed them in a barrack-style situation, and then they go out and do work for free, especially in areas where people can't afford it. So in Biloxi, Mississippi, where the first organization started, they were an amazing resource to that community and helped tremendously. And from then, as a volunteer, I volunteered in many other parts of the country over the last 15 years, Louisiana. I was in the Bahamas, which is not our country, last month, believe it or not. I started the project on the South Shore of Long Island after Hurricane Sandy. I was in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm sorry, Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 2008 after flooding. I went to Haiti after the earthquake. I'm very engaged. I became a board member in 2014. And then it's kind of merged with the charity called Happy Hearts, which was led by Thutchinam Pova, if you remember the model.
Yes.
Who died in Thailand, whose boyfriend died in Thailand.
She Correct.
Started her own foundation to rebuild schools in impoverished nations. And together they formed this charity. And I've been a board member for the last 6 years. It's been watched go from zero to an international charity with 57,000 alumni volunteers. It's amazing.
That's actually quite amazing. I happened to be on the website last night, sort of preparing for this conversation, and noticed a very important number. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that number, because not many charities actually can say that. And my understanding is that more than 90% of the monies that you collect as donations actually go to the project for which it's collected. How is that done?
So the CEO and the founder have a mantra that they want to help as many people as possible. And if you want to work at this job and get rich, this is not the place for you. The CEO gets paid $125,000 a year to run an organization with 200 employees. He refuses to ever take a raise. He models by example. He took an 80% pay cut to take his job, and he couldn't be happier. And they try and make sure that every single dollar they can gets towards purchasing supplies and helping re-gut, muck, redo life instruction, remove rubble, help people do for their families what they can't afford. I was in Houston in November on my hands and knees scrubbing tar off the floor and getting rid of mold. I was in the Bahamas in March, just before this story, believe it or not, and I was at a house doing the same thing, removing mold, and these are expensive things for people who don't have insurance.
Right.
And this charity's mantra is do as much as you can, as efficiently as you can, and their currency is people who are willing to donate their time and effort in the face of humanity. The average volunteer stays and works for free for 22 days. It's just an extraordinary number.
Yeah, that's quite extraordinary. You know, as we speak on this issue, certainly you are a Long Island resident. You're a Nassau County resident. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask, how has this pandemic and its subsequent remedy, the notion of social distancing, since we don't seem to have a real therapeutic remedy at this point, but the notion of social distancing, how has that affected you personally and your family? You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips.
Well, look, with my training, and thank you for asking that, Aubrey, with my training and being engaged in the charity for 15 years, and also being on the floor trading commodities as a profession before I left that business 10 years ago, I'm quite comfortable with chaos, which is a little weird. And I'm also always very prepared. You know, we were very prepared for Hurricane Sandy. We have a backup generator. We have plenty of frozen foods. I had bought masks way ahead of time. We're doing great. If it wasn't for my kids occasionally fighting, we wouldn't even know there was a problem. But most people, you know, I think Statistics of Time said 40% of people live paycheck to paycheck and can't afford a $400 emergency expense. Well, that's 40% of Long Islanders, where it's one of the most expensive places to live. So I see the desperate need for protection and work and everything else. And my job through my training is to try and help with supplying donations of PPP to people, PPE,
right.
The government, PPP, giving you money, to get these donations to people as quickly as possible. And I've been working on that since it started.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that not just you, but the family is doing well. You know,
thank you.
So let's talk about this PPE drive that you're spearheading.
Well, I appreciate it very much because the more people know about it, the more people who can help. All hands, when I was in the Bahamas in March, decided on March 12th to shut down all international operations, and close down and furlough everybody, unfortunately, until this started up again and society reopened. And they basically have a mission of helping impoverished and areas of destruction. So I reached out to the CEO and said, look, I want to start a drive to purchase masks, the KN95 masks or N95 masks, if you could find them, face shields, and possibly gowns to get them, because I'm hearing from my friends who are in the medical profession, who are nurses, who are police, that they're desperate. They're wearing garbage bags instead of protective gowns. They're wearing red bandanas instead of masks. And they're getting the people who are protecting us need help. There's been a complete breakdown in government assistance. Communication has been difficult. And I thought with my experience, I could start purchasing floor supply lines because we're an international charity and get things on the ground. So my wife and I donated money to get started. We purchased the first 10,000 KN95 masks.
Wonderful.
Word out, worked with a bunch of other organizations, and then all of a sudden there's been an influx of information of people who want to sell me things, people who need desperately need supplies, and I got a laundry list of people to reach out to, and we started fundraising, and one thing led to another, and so far to date, I haven't checked this morning, but we've raised over $167,000, of which 100% of items we purchased immediately, money we raised, which is tax deductible, immediately go to purchase and help only Long Islanders. Because I'm a Long Island guy, and I think I'm just two of the board members in Long Island. This is what we're doing.
Absolutely. So we, you know, on behalf of all Long Islanders, and certainly here at the podcast, you know, we welcome and thank people like you who have the kinds of outreach and the kind of resources that can get to those kinds of things. I constantly remind myself that philanthropy is not a substitute for good public policy. And I know that you are a very philanthropic man. And also I know that you were a part of an administration here on Long Island, the town of Hempstead. And right now, there seemed to be some void. And without being political about it, what could we do, or what should the town be doing at this point that you think could be helpful in this crisis?
Thank you for reminding me of the two most miserable years of my life. but what I did learn was a lot. I learned even working in government, I met a lot of very good people. There are very good people working in town. I don't want you to think that just because the experience with the town board was not a very warm, fuzzy one, and there seemed to be no ends to which they tried to sabotage all the efforts of Supervisor Gillen, which I'm a big fan of, and her staff. There were some very good people and hardworking people there, but it's about leadership, right?
Of course,
in times of trouble, there's no place to hide. And when I think about a week ago, the Supervisor Clavin gave a raise and promotions and took taxpayers' money and spent, I think it was $700,000-something, which could have gone to helping people.
Absolutely.
Ingratiate himself with the local elected officials. It took my breath away.
Wow.
It took my breath away. It's really shame on us for reelecting guys like that. He could be the nicest guy in the world, but, you know, the first thing he should have done was, hey, how do we figure out how we help the townspeople?
Right? Yes.
He didn't close down the senior centers, by the way. There's a lot he could have done. He could be a Monday morning quarterback. But here are the three things that every municipality should do, and I wrote an article about it for a regular column in the Island Now. And these are the three things that the county should do, but the town can equally do them. The first one is to create a website of organizations in need who need PPE, right?
Right.
The group homes, the health clinics, the volunteer fire departments, the inpatient mental health facilities, the outpatient physical therapy and dialysis centers, supermarket workers. There's so many more people who are in need of this outside of hospitals, and nobody knows. And
correct.
There are places that are donating. There are places that, like myself, who are raising money to help donate to these places. There needs to be a website so people are clear where the need is. There's none. There's none on Long Island. The second thing they need to do is create what they created in England, which is a volunteer responder website. There are people who are homebound, such as seniors and people who are disabled, who need basic services like food or medication or just a friendly voice.
Mm-hmm.
In England, they put out a call for volunteers, hoping to get 250,000 volunteers, and they got 750,000 volunteers to help. This would be Long Islanders helping Long Islanders, or Town of Hempstead residents helping Town of Hempstead residents. The town should create a volunteer responder website. And the final thing they could do, which after I spoke with Supervisor Judy Bosworth in the Town of North Hempstead, is create a suggestion box. Who knows better than the people on the front lines what's needed? And you can have a simple form that's filled out and goes right to the town. Here's what's going on, here's what's needed. So a simple suggestion box, a volunteer responder website, a PPE website to find places of need, three simple things that don't cost money that could engage the public and make them feel like their elected officials are doing more than giving themselves raises.
You're listening to the Elmont Online Podcast. I'm Aubrey Phillips. You know, those are very thoughtful suggestions, and I hope that whoever is listening would take heed. So, would you tell us again? Would you tell us the website for which we can do donations to the All Hands and Heart organization?
Yeah, the name of the organization is All Hands and Heart Smart Response. That you could thank the lawyers for that one, just to make sure that nobody was copywriting us. But the actual website is All Hands, like your hands on the end of your arm, and hearts, like the heart in your chest, .org. AllHandsAndHearts.org. And you'll see on the homepage, it says CPE Drive New York. I think when you read the fine print, we're going to take care of Long Island until the need is done and then try and move west. The need here is insatiable. I have a shipment of about 40,000 masks coming in later this week. We've ordered some more face shields. We've got an order that we're working on for level 2 and level 3 gowns, level 3 for the emergency rooms, level 2 if we're dealing with outpatients in clinics. And I knew none of this, by the way, a month ago. All of a sudden, I'm a PPE expert. But the need is endless and extraordinary, and you'd be helping your community.
We thank you for this effort. I certainly will ensure that as many people as I know can get to the website, and as many people as I know that can donate, I will ensure that those people get an opportunity to donate. And with that, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us here on the podcast. Thank you, Mr. Haber.
Bobby, thank you so much. I mean, you've always been engaged in the community with your Elmont website, trying to do what's best. And spreading the message of help is one that you're doing, and informing people. The key of power is knowledge. And I'm honored to be in the very first one or two of your interviews. I will be a regular listener. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Haber. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The Elmont Online Podcast is brought to you by www.elmont.org, where residents go for cutting-edge commentary, real-time news feeds, and more. Elmont.org, building a stronger community since 1999. Thank you for listening. Between now and the next time we meet, be safe. I'm Aubrey Phillips.